The future of reporting now.
This is Concordia News Radio.
Good morning. It's currently 2 degrees and raining at the Loyola campus of Concordia University. I'm Rewa Abdelkhalik, and here are today's headlines. Are we into tariff trouble with Trump? Another day, another threat of a strike, and worries about a dangerous school crossing. Reactions are rolling into Donald Trump's threat to impose a 25% tariff on all products arriving from Canada and Mexico. Canada is currently the U.S. largest trading partner and is expected to affect millions of Canadian workers. Huda Gurkhati has more.
Trump is imposing this after saying that Canada is not doing enough to stop drugs and illegal immigrants from crossing the U.S. border. Christina Santini, Director of National Affairs of Canadian Federation for Independent Businesses, says this is already starting to have effects on the Canadian economy.
Merely the announcement or the thought of it basically had an immediate reaction on the markets, and we saw the value of the Canadian dollar against the U.S. drop. So right there, it means that imports are going to cost a lot more.
However, economist Moshe Lander says Trump's reasoning for the tariff is not the full story, since he has always had a history of disliking free trade agreements.
He's never liked free trade. He didn't like Canada-US free trade agreement. He didn't like when it was extended to the NAFTA agreement. He certainly didn't like when it was renegotiated into the CUSMA agreement. He was the president.
Santini says that if this tariff were to become law, this would force Canadian businesses to make very difficult decisions.
They may need to revisit their overall operating budgets, which could mean, you know, lower salary increases in the future. It could mean less hours or not replacing staff that leave.
This is Huda Gurkhati for Concordia News.
An economic report was released this morning showing that Quebec's GDP increased at a concerningly slow rate. Gabriella Mayer is here with us to discuss details of the story. So, Gabriella, this new report is indicative of a slowing economy in Quebec. What does this mean for small businesses impacted by this?
Yeah, so I spoke with Christina Santini from the Canadian Federation of Independent Small Businesses, and she says that small businesses are having to make adjustments. This is what she had to say.
And we know that it's been harder for them coming out of the pandemic and COVID and being faced with high inflationary pressures, which is reducing demand from consumers. And ultimately what it means is they've had to adjust their investment in their own business. They've had to adjust the amount of hours or staffing that they do, which ends up decreasing the productivity. So there's many factors that are affecting Canada's and Quebec's GDP.
So this the GDP was only 1.1% in Quebec this fiscal year. How does that compare with the expectations?
Yes, Rio, that's correct. Compared with last year, the increase was only 1.1%, and that's pretty low in comparison to the ideal GDP growth rate of between 2-3%. I spoke with economist Moshe Lander, who suggested that this is a result of Quebec's public policy. He said that people who might boost the economy, such as English speakers from outside of Quebec, are being discouraged from coming and setting up shop in the name of cultural preservation.
So what would get GDP back up?
Besides maybe a shift in public policy at the provincial level, Christina Santini says that there may be things that small businesses can do to start making this shift. And this is what she had to say.
So that is one of the key things, is what would get GDP back up is, of course, getting demand back up, but also being able to produce higher valued goods or more goods and exporting it, and not just for domestic demand.
That was Gabriella Mayer with a GDP report. Goosal Cinemas is shutting down one of their 10 locations permanently at the beginning of December, located in Dollard-des-Ormonts. As it turns out, most of the Goosal Group establishments are built on rented property and are not owned by the company. The company's president, Vincenzo Guzzo, confirmed that with the lease ending at the end of December, they will not renew it, especially with all the financial loss. According to CIBC, they estimated their shortfall in its income at $38.6 million. Canadian National Railway workers just voted a strike mandate. It will take effect if no agreement is reached with the management before January 1st, 2025. This looming strike happens after Canadian Pacific, Montreal Port, and Canada Post all got work stoppages in the past year, showing a tendency that doesn't seem to slow down. Felix Leduc has the details.
The more than 5,000 Canadian National Railway workers massively voted in favor of a strike, but this is far from an isolated event. The Canadian Pacific, Montreal Port, and Canada Post all had work stoppages in the past year. According to labor law expert Andrea Talarico, we are witnessing a historic shift from recent history.
Since 1976, there actually has been a decrease in strikes and in strike duration. And we saw a relatively unprecedented increase in 2023.
Talarico says that this situation is caused by the steep inflation that took place after the pandemic, which leads to higher demands from unions, but the economic uncertainty makes the companies reluctant to grant raises. According to her, the combination of those conditions creates fertile ground for strikes.
So we have a perfect storm of circumstances at the moment to explain the marked increase in industrial conflict.
Another cause is the fact that collective agreement of civil servants used to be better and to pull upwards the working conditions in the private sector. But according to unionism sociology expert Yannick Noiseur, it isn't the case anymore. Public collective agreements were historically a bit better, so it improved the working conditions, but since 40 years of economic austerity, it isn't true anymore. CN workers and managers will now be negotiating from November 25th to December 8th, and they probably both hope to reach an agreement before the start of the strike. This is Félix Leduc, CJCN, in Montreal.
A fire broke out Monday afternoon in a basement of a triplex on Iberville Street. The fire caused a 57-year-old man to suffer critical injuries following the fire in Montreal's Saint-Michel neighborhood. Firefighters discovered the man inside the burning building, and he was then transported to the hospital in critical condition. Nearby residences were also temporarily evacuated as a precaution. Investigations still continue to this moment, but so far, evidence suggests that the fire was accidental. A recent accident at a crosswalk in Montreal West has raised concern about pedestrian safety. The intersection on Westminster Avenue, with its heavy traffic, has long been flagged by residents as a dangerous area for walkers. Residents worry it's only a matter of time before a more serious incident happens. Amalia Limoncianu joins us from Westminster Avenue with more on the story. Amalia, what's the atmosphere like on the intersection?
Honestly, it is very dangerous here. Cars are speeding really fast and people are struggling to cross. The roads do not seem safe for kids that have to cross every morning and afternoon from Royal West Academy that is just nearby. Personally, I was afraid to cross here for myself, as the intersection is very busy.
And how do pedestrians there feel about this?
Well, from what I've seen, students are actually running to cross, as they seem worried with all the cars speeding, and parents are very concerned about their kids' safety. It is really difficult to cross here, as the train also passes by, which actually causes more traffic. And from what I've seen, this is not a safe area for children to be crossing by. Now, Sevi Chema, a mother of an 11-year-old boy who lived nearby, said that she waits for her kid to take the bus as she worries about her child's safety.
It's not easy to cross the road, this part, but sometimes it's a problem driver. They can't see the people crossing the road. I make hand sign. Normally, he's going alone everywhere, but when it's raining or bad weather, I try to go come with him because I'm scared maybe the driver can see them here.
And there was an accident at this very intersection at the beginning of the month, right?
That's right, Riwa. Unfortunately, earlier this month, a 14-year-old boy who studies at Royal West was hit. And even though there were no serious injuries, this actually brought a great concern to the child's mother, who now wants to take action. And from the people that I've spoken to, this has raised a lot of concern to other parents and even children, as they are aware of this accident. And to be honest, I haven't seen any crossing guards or stop signs, so it makes sense that parents are concerned.
If you haven't changed your tires yet and fear slipping on the black ice, you might also be tempted to celebrate the World Sustainable Transportation Day. Prefects and elected officials of the North Shore have launched a new plan to provide an equitable and sustainable public transportation network for their residents. Lina Mansouri spoke to the public transit planner Julien Villafuerte, who says public transportation in Quebec as a whole is challenging.
The state of public transit in Quebec and in Montreal is difficult with the current financing situation. It's difficult to provide a quality of service that can attract ridership and that can provide an attractive option alternative to the car.
The Northern Crown Mobility Agenda is divided into three main areas, which is meet the real and growing mobility needs of the population, setting up local governance, and entrusting elected representatives with the power to allocate resources. What would it take, do you think, for the actual implementation of such an agenda?
Public transport planning is something that involves all levels of government. Yeah, it would take a lot of political will, that's for sure. And so I think, you know, for instance, them putting out a plan is a really good first step.
And what do you think of the idea of putting out a plan like this that is public?
The idea of putting out a plan that's public, that anyone can access, is definitely an effective and interesting way to generate leverage at this stage.
And what are some challenges, do you think, regarding planning and public transport in the province or in Greater Montreal?
Planning for public transportation in the Greater Montreal area is definitely a big challenge. There's a lot of actors. There's a lot of different people who play similar and overlapping roles. And so that makes it complex and that frankly makes it quite inefficient as well.
And do you think this project is going to go forth?
I mean, I think it depends on how different levels of government and how the ARTM also reacts to this moment. I think it could be interesting as like a wake-up call for the ARTM to realize the amount of effort that's needed to, in a way, adequately listen to the concerns of the different communities that they serve.
Depending on where you live in Montreal, parking just got more pricey. The agency that oversees parking, street parking in the city has announced the launch of an AI technology to aid them in handing out parking tickets. Hannah Beach has the story.
Residents of Outremont and part of Plateau who use street parking on the regular should be aware of the new technology being rolled out to help give out more parking tickets. The head of the Agency of Sustainable Mobility, Laurence Chevreau, explained the point.
There are some regulations that are difficult to monitor without technological support, such as in time-limited spaces, and it will help them to improve that compliance.
Montrealers might be concerned about the use of this type of AI technology collecting their data, but Chevreau explained that the only information collected is that of people given out parking tickets for the purposes of passing on to the Municipal Court of Montreal.
Well, if the system detects the presence of individuals, the blurring is automatically applied, so no one can be identified. And at the same time, no geolocation data is associated with the photos.
Chevreau explains that this is the first phase of this project that will later expand to the rest of Montreal, particularly other boroughs that use a lot of street parking. He also emphasized that privacy will continue to be a priority for the organization.
Okay. But the security and the protection of the privacy and personal information, there's something that remain priorities for the agence.
Hannah Beach, CJCN, Montreal.
Pauline Marois, elected Quebec's first female premier in 2012, has been named the new councillor of UQAM for her first five-year term. Marois is the first woman to hold that position at UQAM. She says she's excited to see her experience to help the university grow and stay connected with the community. UQAM's current president says Marois' leadership will be a big plus for the school. The Montreal Canadiens will play Utah for the first time in their history. The Toronto Raptors lose a heartbreaker, and the Baltimore Ravens defeat the Los Angeles Chargers on Monday Night Football. Matthew Piscina has all your sports.
Inside the 10, end zone, touchdown, Justice Hill.
That was the call on last night's ESPN Monday Night Football broadcast. Lamar Jackson and the Baltimore Ravens defeat the Los Angeles Chargers by a score of 30-23. The loss snapped the Chargers' four-game winning streak. Both teams now sit in second place in their respective divisions. That was the call on Sportsnet's Jaden Struble scored one of the two Montreal Canadiens' goals in their loss to Vegas on Saturday night. The Habs will look to flip the page on the season when they face the Utah Hockey Club tonight. This will be the first time in the team's histories that they meet. The Arizona Coyotes relocated to Utah in the offseason after the team was sold by the owner. Looking forward, the Canadiens will visit the Boston Bruins on December 1st. It will mark exactly 100 years since the long-standing rivalry began in 1924. It was so long ago that the Canadiens had a different name, the Montreal Maroons. Saturday's game will begin at 3 p.m.
He does the buzzer.
That was the call on Sportsnet last night as the Toronto Raptors were heartbroken by the Detroit Pistons. The last-second shot won the game for the Pistons, handing Toronto their 14th loss of the season. Raptors point guard Scotty Barnes led both teams in points, scoring 31 throughout the game. Toronto will look for their first road win of the season tomorrow night when they face the New Orleans Pelicans. This might be their best chance, as the Pelicans have lost 5 in a row. And elsewhere around the league, the reigning NBA champion Boston Celtics crushed the Los Angeles Clippers by a score of 126-94. Boston is on a league-high 6-game winning streak. And that's it for sports.
Thank you, Matthew. Santa's mail service is facing a hiccup this year. Santa Claus receives tons of letters every year sent to his address, but the Canada Post strike has caused a delay in most services across Canada. However, kids will still be able to send letters to Santa. Canada Post workers say that they are committed to delivering every letter sent to them this year and respond to it once the strike is over. So children and parents, you can still write your letter this year and send it before December 6. Let's hope the North Pole delivery service isn't delayed too much this holiday season. And for the weather, we can expect cloudy days and scattered showers and even flurries throughout the week, as high temperatures hover around 3 degrees. But we'll have to bundle up at the end of the weekend, as temperatures are expected to dip below zero on Sunday. That's your news to 11:30. Thanks for listening. For Concordia News, I'm Riwa Abdelkhalik. We'll be right back.